I bless your holy name tonight, Jesus. I want to read something to you out of James tonight. It says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren," meaning do not err from the truth or the doctrine, the sound doctrine. Do not err from what you've been taught. It says, "Every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creations. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath." And another verse says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." So, Lord, we want your word to be established in our heart. We want sound truth, sound doctrine. The truth is in you, Jesus, and in your word. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. He is guiding us into all truth and helping us, Lord, to understand all that you have in mind for us. Lord, we welcome you into this place tonight. We thank you for your presence. Nothing else matters, Lord, but presence, your glory, your being in this place. So I welcome you to come and have your way, Lord. Come and live and move and have your being in this place as we live and move and have our being in you, Jesus. We love you with our whole hearts. And I thank you, Lord, for your precious, precious love. Your unconditional love, Lord. And thank you for all that you've done, Jesus. You're so good. You're so wonderful. And you're worthy of all the glory, honor, and praise. And every word of adoration that I could think of to give to you, Lord. You've never failed me, Jesus. You are a good God. You're wonderful. Wonderful, loving Father. And I've come to worship you. Come to give you glory and honor and praise. Bless your holy name, Jesus. I love you so much, Lord. Thank you for your great love, Lord. I worship you, Jesus.
We worship you, Jesus. We magnify you. Praise and honor. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Magnify you for who you are. What you've provided, Lord, was so sovereignly complete at the cross. There's nothing that we can add to it. And there's certainly nothing that we can take away from it. I praise you and worship you. Glorify you. He who spared not his own son, how shall he not with him freely give us all things, all things. Everything that you provided in him, Lord. Everything that you provided, our health, our healing, our sanity of mind, our ability to go on, receive the victory against all impossible odds, times, and watching. Looking unto him, the author and the finisher of our faith, knowing that he which has begun a good work in us is able to complete it unto the day of our salvation. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I glorify you. I thank you and give you all the praise. Give you all the glory. Thank you for your anointing. It is your anointing. It is your anointing that breaks the yoke. And we worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Boca inseki bulakiriste. If you'd hear what the Spirit of the Lord would say. Or oftentimes against impending and possible odds, what things look insurmountable in life situations. People bow their knee to the circumstances only too soon to find out that I had a plan to get them past. Not just a momentary plan to get them past in a momentary victory, but one that was past anything that they themselves could have imagined. So, stay with me. Walk with me until the end of the thing that is standing in front of you. And you'll find that if you'll put your trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding, you'll find that all of your ways will be directed of me, saith the Lord. And the victories that I give, they're not to be compared with the victories that you stand in after you've waged your war and come to a peaceable place and concede to the thing and say, I can live with this. I can live with this. Know that the victories that I give are so far exceedingly and abundantly above all that you could ask or think, that you'll stand so far head and shoulders above the thing that opposes you, that you'll even begin to search for it and find it nowhere near you, but only the pastures, the green pastures and the still waters that I promised to everyone that would put their trust in me, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the kind of victory I want. I receive it, Father. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we glorify You and thank You. Just to dwell on who You are is more than enough. The counsel that we receive from the Holy Spirit. You promised us. You promised us that You'd not leave us as orphans. Lord, You said if You went away, You'd send the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost. So we praise You for that one who is teaching us, leading and guiding us continually into all truth. And Thy Word is truth. And we praise You and glorify You. Hallelujah. Since I haven't heard it today from you, the Olympic torch cannot go out. Cannot. We got to say it. I remember when, I don't want to tell you how, I want to act like it was a long, long, long time ago, when it would bother me when people wouldn't show up on Friday nights. Confess behind me. Oh, that was 15 years ago. Wait a minute, I haven't been here but 11. At some point you start crossing a line. You start crossing a place where, I don't know, the world would call it where dreams are made out of. It's bigger than that. I felt real strange in a good sense coming home from a prayer visit this afternoon. I went to see a good friend of mine, Hilario Perez. You guys have been praying for him, I hope, if you got the message. Young 33-year-old pastor, good looking guy, well built weightlifter, and his cholesterol level was I think they said normal is like 200, something like that, 250. He's been in the hospital for 12 days. His went to 7,500. Can you believe it? The doctor said 2,000, you go comatose. He didn't, but he come close to dying. I mean, pancreatitis and not really anything. I found out, man, he's really on a strict diet. It's a hereditary kind of thing. I got a chance to lay hands on him and pray, and he was so glad that I was there. We want all of you to pray for him. Pray for him. He's been in extreme pain. The worst pain he's ever. It's down now, and his triglyceride count's like down to 209 or something like that, which is safe. you get up where he was at, it starts destroying liver and kidneys and all kind of stuff. And so the doctor told him a few years ago, if he didn't do something, he probably wouldn't live past 30. Well, he's 33 now. You wouldn't think he'd have any problem looking at him. But God, hallelujah. God. Thank you, Jesus. So let's just pray for him. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we do take this time to lift up my fellow pastor and my friend. And I speak life with every man and woman in here. I release your glory. Even as I did this today with him, he who spared not his own son, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? So right now, Jesus, if you weren't spared and God didn't hold you back, why would he spare anything that you provided, like as in healing, restoration, or even changing the genetic structure of a person? Whatever was inherent, whatever was given by hereditary traits, you can get in and even begin to change chromosomes to a place where that, Lord, it's not kind of adaptable to the body to take on all this cholesterol. So in Jesus' name, I speak life to my friend. And I command a total life change in his body, Lord. I release grace that he goes on to raise up an atmosphere in Immokalee and helps us receive this revival. I thank you for it. I bless you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. So why don't we say it? I say that Immokalee is in revival. The blind see. The lame walk. The deaf hear. The dumb speak. The dead are raised. Demoniacs are set free. Thousands and thousands. Thousands and thousands. You're doing good. Let's do it again. Thousands and thousands. Are born again in this revival. In Jesus' name. Oh, my favorite. The maimed are made whole. That's lame as you've got two legs, but you're in a wheelchair. Or if you're lame, you can barely, you know, there's a hitch in your giddy up. Maimed is you don't have it a giddy up anymore. It happened in Jesus' ministry. Jesus said, the works that I do, you'll do also. Greater works. Because I go to the Father. Well, here's the Olympic torch. My Friday nights. My confession. So when it bothered me is this. I started crossing a line and you're crossing the same lines with me. Because it's comical. It's really, it's not even something you have to try to man up under. See, 11 years this month. We don't have a billboard out. We don't even have a sign. We're trying to hide ourselves. So you'd think on a way to something as fantastic and as what seemingly would be, you know, just mind blowing as a great outpouring. Putting you on the map. You're seeking to be known. Oh my God. If I could have the revival and somebody could walk in and there'd be thousands of us and somehow they wouldn't even know I was the pastor, that would be my greatest kind of crowning. That we're all just ministers unto the Lord. But being on the map because the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. The satellite imagery. We were on national news yesterday, but not as a revival. But we will be. Amen. Gary Carpenter called me and he said, Bronk. I said, yeah. He said, it looks like the eye just went over Immokalee. I said, yeah, it is right now. It's right now. It got calm, didn't it? You know, no rain. It was rainless. And then a little bit. Hallelujah. And I believe it. So this would be a comical thing in this sense that you're on your way to something like this. I mean an earth-shaking NBC, the same way they're covering the Olympics. They'll come and stand outside and they'll watch and they'll report the blind see and the lame walk. And we're going to break away from this because on the other side of town, something else is happening. Just like at an Olympic Village, this is happening, that's happening. You would think at this point in time, after 11 years, you'd have to have some kind of support. The believability factor. I'm so glad you're here. But if this was the support, numerically, you'd have to count. You're about one per year. You'd have to say, wait a minute. This isn't working. Only thing is, this isn't based on human calculation. It's based on everything that He is, everything Christ is to you, in you, and through you. And this is the Olympic torch. This is it. When that sufficiency starts coming on you, and you start trading your identity for His identity, something inside of you begins to change. Changes so much so that the strange feeling I felt was, the only way I can describe it was so peaceful. It felt like that there was nothing that anybody, as much, boy, I think now I know how much I need you more than any time in my life. I desire your prayers. I desire your intercessions. But it also felt like I didn't need somebody's affirmation to make sure that I was going in the right direction. Because I know that I know that I know. Another minister walked in while I was talking to Hilario and the two of us were sitting there. He introduced me to this other pastor. He said, this is Pastor Bronk. I think you know him. I did. I'd met him before. He was a pastor of another Baptist church someplace else. He said he's the oldest, not age-wise, but he said he's the oldest, second oldest staying. I don't know what his words were verbatim, but he said second longest staying or oldest staying pastor in Immokalee. There's only one other man that I know of that's been here longer. And I've only been here 11 years. What does that tell you? I didn't try to do it braggadociously. I just started counting one time because it came to my mind. And you remember? It was way up in the teens. It's probably way up 20 or more now that I've known that have come, set down roots, went in to do something. And only later found themselves someplace else. Now, you can say, well, God changes other people's assignment. And He can do that. But a lot of people got run out of town. Not by people, but by the enemy. Why? Because when head knowledge is your encouragement, when that's your encouragement, and facts are what you look at. See, I'm not looking at facts. I'm looking at truth. This kind of thing feels like you could sit. No brag about it. Just feels like you could sit here on a Friday night right by yourself. And just know that you know that you know, hey, I didn't have to have anybody resounding behind me. I could just say, I say. And just keep on going and know that the day and hour is coming where NBC will come in and ABC and CBS and Fox News and watch the notable miracles take place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What do you account that kind of encouragement to? Not hyping yourself up. Not trying to even encourage your own self like, okay, I can do this. Let's man up. Let's stay strong. You don't want to let down your testimony. Hey, if it was letting down my testimony, I'd have probably let you down a long time ago. There's a source There's a source. His name is the Holy Spirit. And the more you pray in tongues, the more that edification process. He said, he that prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. He builds himself up on his most holy faith. The more you pray in the Spirit, the stronger and stronger you get to a place where you get an immunized kind of thought process that after a while you love everybody more than you ever did before. But the necessity to have somebody come along and tell you you're all right, you're on the right road, keep it up, you're going to make it. It feels like he's already done that. So if anybody does that behind him, it's only icing on the cake. It's not like something you were waiting to happen. It's something that's already manifest in your spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Grit. I believe in grit. I believe in a man being a man, but I'll tell you what, you can't outlast the devil by yourself. There's one called the Holy Ghost. You keep praying in tongues and praying in tongues and worshiping God and magnifying Him. His grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you just stand for a minute? Hallelujah. Marcia, you want to just share with us?
I stood in Sunday for my aunt, and we prayed because last week she was diagnosed with brain cancer. They said it was all through her brain, that she only had 2 months to live. And I called her on Monday to tell her that I stood in for her and how the prayer went, and I was mailing her the prayer cloth. And she said, well, I'm even doing better today. And she goes, I feel better, and I'm doing better. Well, then yesterday afternoon, about 2 o'clock, my cousin Jen called me, her daughter, and she was all excited. She goes, did Michelle call you? And I said, no, she didn't call me. And she goes, well, I just had to give you the good news. Mom had another brain scan this morning, and the brain cancer isn't there. There's just a small little tumor that they're going to operate and take out.
Hallelujah.
And she goes, and Mom ate a full breakfast, and she ate a full lunch, and she's all excited, and she's doing well.
Hallelujah,
so
Jesus.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. What's her name again?
Joyce.
Aunt Joyce. That's quick. Sunday.
Amen.
And I mean,
they did a scan yesterday morning, and it was totally different.
Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. All the glory and all the praise. All the glory and all the praise. Well, Father, we just continue. Everything is available in the Son. So, Lord, we just speak to that last remaining little part. So, we drive out the enemy with the finger of God, as Jesus said, if I cast out Satan with the finger of God, then has the kingdom of God come unto you. So now, Joyce, know this, the kingdom of God is coming to you. We speak the life of God. And by the Holy Spirit, we cast this thing out, the remaining part, whatever is left, any remnant, any rogue running cells that might be left. Father, in Jesus' name, if this report come to this place, how much more are you able to drive out that last remaining part, that there won't even be any need for surgery? So I thank you, Father. We take it to the limit now and cast out that last part in the name of Jesus. Nothing left, nothing to remain in the precious name of Jesus. We glorify you. Hallelujah. Do you think that confessing and confessing and confessing and confessing miracles, you think that has anything to do with things being released out of here? Hallelujah. All the glory to Him. It's not us. But I'll tell you, not only is, now here's the deal. We're learning more and more. Freely you've received, you freely give. Okay? So we know that. So we know that the anointing in this revival that it's coming, it's going to just touch them by the masses and masses and masses. But what He's wanting right now is for us to learn such sound doctrine and get ready to be able to pour this doctrine out on the masses. We said Sunday, one of the things that was so beautiful the Holy Spirit said is that prior to the message, how many enjoyed that? On what was, I don't know what Kathy's going to call it. She had to take her cousin to the, it was something about tweezers versus amputation. You got the picture, right? I'd rather have him operating on me. Well, that was a whole lesson in the Word. But the thing about it is what He really wants us to understand is what we're supposed to propagate. And that's the sound doctrine. That's the understanding to the people. Oh, freely we've received and we'll be able to freely give. In other words, the signs and wonders that are available, Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name you'll cast out devils. You'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Now, the beautiful thing is that when they came to Jesus, not one place in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all the recorded Gospels, not one place before He laid His hand on them did He ever ask them the question, have you been keeping the law? Have you been good? Before I heal you, I've got to know if you've been good. So He did it. He freely gave it. But then He also said in other places, go, sin no more, lest something else would come upon you. Do you know, even in the ministry of Jesus, even in Jesus' now, you'd think if Jesus laid His hand on you and you got healed, you'd think that was a permanent deal. And it should be. But He told them there was a necessity for their life to come under subjection to God. And one of the things that is major in people like Joyce, now she's got a good teacher in keeping her healing, is this. Because here's the deal. Even when you poll and take a study, you'd go around, and they did. They took studies and went around people's ministry like Benny Hinn and different people and people that are known miracle workers, and all the glory to God. I praise God for my brother. They found out that a lot, well more than most, over half, sickness came back. It came back, and then if it was a bad sickness, a lot of times it took their life. You'd say, my God, now why? Didn't Jesus do that? Oh, yeah. But here's the kicker. A virus. Virus in the body? No. A computer virus. Right here. I don't know anything. Very little bit. I know how to turn one on. I can surf a little bit. I have to go to Darwin or Matt or some of these other guys to get mine re-scrambled and fixed. I know if you get a virus in there, it messes up everything. Doctrinal viruses will either keep you from being healed, or if somebody does get their hands on you that has enough faith to get you healed, they may momentarily get you healed. But if the doctrinal virus, something that has the ability to get in there and scramble up everything, and wrong believing, and not knowing how to keep your healing, that's another thing. Well, the first place that doctrine has to go to is, this saddens me, but it's not just among the parishioners, it's the preachers too. Unless they pray in the Holy Ghost and their teacher is the Holy Spirit. Because when you go to school, they started school today, yesterday, storm, today. They walked in. Today was orientation, so they probably didn't go to the chalkboard. At some point, whether it's second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth grade, right on up through high school, there will be a teacher, male or female. But there will also be books. And without one or the other, you can't have a classroom. You have to have a teacher to instruct you what's in the book. You have to have a book for the teacher to have something to teach out of. This is the wisdom of God, the canon of Scriptures. 66 books written by the Holy Ghost. The teacher is the Holy Ghost. As Dave said, he's the fine-dressed gentleman at the chalkboard. Without him and without some systematic working whereby he's able to get into your thought process and change the way that you've been doctrinized, you're going to believe something that's been taught to you by man. And I pray for people sometimes, and their mouths will give away. Truly the Word of God says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Because when you begin to pray for them or you pray afterwards and they begin to talk about that God did this, that God did whatever they're in for whatever purpose, they don't know. Sometimes they'll say it's for His glory. Sometimes they'll say like it's going to bring a lot of people together. Listen, it's the first step, towards the enemy's demoralization, the virus. It's already in there. When you think that He put something on you, see, He said, Romans 8 said, He who spared not, it means He didn't hold His Son back. He had a plan in it, the Father. He who spared not His own Son, how shall He not with Him? It's a question. Like, come to terms with it. Understand it. It's really an analytical lawyer's kind of fight. Like a lawyer standing up in front of a jury and say, look, why in God's name would you put this over on God, this sickness or disease, and say God did this to teach you a lesson? So the lawyer standing here, Matlock, he's standing there and he's saying, the Father who spared not His own Son, He didn't spare Him. If He didn't spare Him, if He sent Him to the cross, He bore Isaiah 53:5, 1 Peter 2:23, if He bore in His body our infirmities. Jesus said, I have come to give you life. The thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Somewhere within all that is the range of human wisdom and religion that cannot articulate, cannot bring it to the surface, and cannot understand. Let's see. 1 + 1 always must equal 2. Let's do our times. 2 × 2 must always equal 4. Now let's see. If I'm not healed, then evidently God must have a purpose in it, because the only way that I can explain not being healed is that God has a... Listen, there's a fine-dressed gentleman at the chalkboard. And no matter what the facts are, the terms are this. You've got to come to this. As long as you believe that He has the capacity to put something on you to teach you a lesson, He put all that on Christ. He put all that on Christ. He put that on Christ. Here's the problem. Some people have said, Pastor, why did great, and we could name names, why did great women of God and men of God who were miracle workers, who stood and worshiped God, I mean just worshiped God, and people would come by the thousands, and there's books on them. And I could name names, and I respect them, I do. And they're in heaven and got a great reward. But why... Why did many of them, I mean, not just a few of them, many of them get taken out with things like cancer, heart disease, those kinds of things? Let me tell you, it all begins, it starts and ends with, if you want to term it like this, computer virus. Where? What computer? Your belief system. Your belief system. Well, if a person was getting miracles, wouldn't they believe that it's God's will to heal? Yeah. But heal, God's will to heal all the time in every situation. Listen, whatever fact you give me may be a fact. Like, okay, we prayed for this person and they died. We prayed for that person and they died. The greatest man of God that I ever knew died. Okay, those are all facts. This is truth. Truth trumps fact. It goes beyond fact. Let me tell you how Satan does this. He's a genius. He really is. I got to applaud him on this. Sometimes people go 40 years having great miracles. Great miracles. They will see hundreds come to the altar. They will see hundreds come to the altar and see all kinds of miracles take place. They will see the anointing that envelops coliseums where thousands are at. And people get healed even before anybody laying hands on them. And an anointing settles in there. And such a great anointing takes place that people are popping up out of wheelchairs and things are taking place. Something happens by their own testimony. You can read and understand that this is a fact. They come to a rationale. They come to a thought process that says this: I don't know why God doesn't heal everybody. You know, He was healing everybody in the building. I mean, there was like a blanket anointing. And you would think if there was a blanket anointing and a lot of people were getting healed, you'd think if He just got His will, if God's a loving God, wouldn't everybody be healed? So the terms are like this. If He had His shot, if God had His shot, and He didn't heal everybody, well then, maybe it's not His will to heal everybody all the time. My friend, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tells you this, and He healed them all. He healed them all. Well, are you doing that, Pastor? Oh, no, not as of yet. But here's where the safety is at. Here's where the necessity is at. It's not in the God. The variable is not in God getting it done. The variable is in the person going to the place where God can get it done. So there's no condemnation on any of the people like the sweet ones that have come and performed miracles. There's no condemnation that they didn't get everybody healed. The only condemnation is this, is that when they begin to believe a subtle lie of Satan that just because there wasn't enough anointing in the house, but a lot of people got healed, that they begin to believe, hey, maybe it's not God's will to heal everybody. You know what He does with that? This is what He does with that. If something in the back of your mind believes that God somehow puts things or keeps things on you in a sovereign sense, then when Satan comes along with something for you, even as a healer and a miracle worker, you've got a program running on the inside that says, wait a minute, this heart disease may be for the glory of God. This cancer may be for the glory of God. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And even though you may pray and you not see the result immediately, you've got to reconcile one thing. It's not based on statistics and it's not based on a blanket anointing. It's based on the fact that you as an individual, when you go to before the Father, you've got to know this: He didn't put this on me. And He won't keep it on me to teach me a lesson. And I've talked to preachers and they'll say, thank you for praying for me. And I'm just open to whatever. I don't know why God did this to me. You know what? Ralph, I don't even say anything to them. I don't. Wouldn't it be better for you to teach them? Because here's the thing. As long as, who do I fight? you know, I don't mind fighting. I don't mind squaring up and toeing the line and throwing some punches. But who do I fight? I mean, do I'm fighting God? Did He put this on me? Or am I fighting the devil? I mean, it's tough fighting two at one time. So maybe He did this, but He wants to get it off of me. But no, He did it. But He wants, I don't understand. I can tell you, He who spared not His own Son. So a lot of religion is swirled around different things. People believing one thing. See, when you lay your hands on somebody, you've got to be totally convinced He didn't do this and He wants it off of them. Hallelujah. He didn't do it and He wants it off of them. Well, even when preachers say to me, well, maybe He's doing this to teach me a valuable lesson, I just smile. Why, Pastor? Why don't you say, because listen, if they don't have the Holy Ghost like as a teacher, now, I'm not saying this like, oh, I'm up here, they're down here. No, no, no. I'm nothing special. We know nothing of ourselves except the Holy Spirit teaches us. But if you don't have the Holy Ghost, who is your teacher, and you're getting your lessons out of some theological seminary, it does you no good to sit down with a person once you explain to them the benefits of praying in tongues. And if they go right on talking, there's no need to begin to explain anything of depth to them. Like, it's not God's will for this cancer to be in your body or this sickness to be in your body. There's no need to do that. Because once they bypass that and say, okay, that was real good. I appreciate what you're talking about, the Holy Ghost. Now, let's talk about something else. To try to indoctrinate somebody that won't turn themselves over to the Holy Spirit would be like Candy and I were saying when I was trying to tell her something this afternoon. It'd be like taking a 5-year-old and trying to teach him, you know, quantum physics or algebra, some, you know, calculus. They just can't get it. They just can't get it. So you're ministering to somebody. The first thing you've got to do if they're not filled with the Holy Spirit and they don't pray in tongues and you know they got wrong doctrine inside of them, then you've got to help them say, okay, here's your teacher. And you can't believe that. No, no, no. He's doing this for a purpose. A lot of times they'll say, well, God's going to do this to get glory out of it. Listen. You know how ridiculous that would be? So it'd be like me running over here and robbing the Winn-Dixie, running out in the parking lot, and calling the sheriff's department and say, okay, hey, yeah, the Winn-Dixie was just robbed and I'm the guy that robbed it and I wanted to turn myself in for the reward. Be right there. Hey, go pick up, there's an idiot standing down in the parking lot. So God's going to beat you up so He can heal you to get the reward. Like, hallelujah, God put the cancer, but now He healed it, so He's going to get the reward. Hallelujah. So thank God, Aunt Joyce, you're teaching her, pounding those good things in her. Joyce, speak the word. Jesus didn't do this to you. Keep on going. Hallelujah. See where Satan comes back after the Benny Hinn crusades and stuff? Now, unless he teaches them, and he said this of himself, he said, one thing I really wish is I had somebody to follow me around and teach these people how to keep their healing. He said that. I'd like to have a pastor or somebody, a noted just line-on-line teacher to teach them how to keep it once they get it. He can get you to the threshold, but keeping it's another thing. Well, why? How do I keep it? First, you got to know that you know that you know Jesus is my healer. And if I have to, every single day I'll stand in this Word and make those bottom line confessions. I say, Jesus, You are my healer. He who spared not His own Son, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Father, You didn't put this on me. I praise You and I magnify You. There's a dirty, stinking, rotten, low life of a devil out there, and he's the one. And You're as far as from the east as from the west from him. You guys, you know, to hear some pastors preach, You think they're collaborating. You think, you know, God and Satan's sipping coffee together. Let's see, I'll make them sick. Good, and then I'll heal them. And then I'll get the glory. Wow. You guys don't cross paths. My God doesn't talk to him. Hallelujah. Yes? You just, are you born again?
Yes.
Okay. Have you, I mean, we're talking, so does the person realize that that's killing them? I mean, they stop the...
Yeah, they stop.
Okay. Well, at that point, it's just, God doesn't, obviously those things gave way to that. I mean, they added to that. But it's just like anything else. Like I said, Sunday you can crawl up out of a rock, underneath a rock today, like a slimy rock, like you. And so smoking cigarettes won't send you to hell. Of course, you know that. But it could add to your demise of your health and those kinds of things. So it's a sin against the body more than anything else. It's not the kind of thing that destroys your spiritual walk with God. But if it was me, you know, I'd be a race against time. The main thing would be not whether or not that I could outrun the disease physically. It'd be whether or not my faith could accept it. So I just, God doesn't hold it like hold it against you. Like, I'm not going to heal you because you should have known better. He doesn't hold that against you. The way that you access healing is by faith. It's all by faith. It's not by work. So I couldn't, if I stood up here and I can't come before the Lord after a 40-day fast and say, okay, heal me because I've been really a good guy doing all this stuff. I cleansed my body. You know, this is where legalism gets in, and Satan can also twist on the other side. But this is a good question. Somebody that takes real good care of their body, they can almost get over into that legalistic side, like, well, you know, I didn't do everything perfect, so I kind of deserve this thing being on me right now. That's a spirit too. That's a spirit of religion. And so you got to get past that, because the bottom line is this: no matter where you come out of it at, if you lift your hands and say, Jesus, you're my healer. Now it does. It profits the body to take care of it. But if you smoked right up until the moment you realize this is no longer good for me, you say, Jesus, you're my healer, he will come right on that line and heal you. He'll come right on that line, and you don't have to work for it. You don't have to do anything for it. Now, if you go right back to smoking, you may get cancer again. You know, so it's just a natural law of health and all that kind of stuff. But the main thing is understanding that it does. It's not by merit; it's by blood. Hallelujah. So it's a good question. Amen. Glory. 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 Hallelujah. The Lord will meet you where you're at. Yep, He will. And sometimes He'll get ahead of you like that dog, right? Now, thinking about something Candy told the other day, she'd heard it while we were up at Christie's and she was watching Charles Capps. I'm thinking about what Ralph said, He'll meet you where you're at, but this was like He'll meet you beyond where you're at. And I'm thinking this is where we're at for a revival. I mean, we're crying out, Immokalee is in revival. Immokalee is in revival. And we hadn't seen it yet, but we're standing in it, believing that it is going to catch up with us. Hallelujah. So she said she heard this guy, I hope I can get it, that he was selling a coon dog. And he advertised him as the world's best. The guy went out to watch him run and to buy him if he was good. Boom. I mean, right away, he treed. Went up there, sure enough, there's a coon in the tree. Guy said, man, that's a good dog, right out of the bat, right off the truck. Let him go again, boom. Went to bay and treat again, went up there, big coon in the tree. Guy said, man, this dog is for real. He said, let me just one more shot with him. All of a sudden he takes off again, he's baying again, barking, barking, barking. They go up there, look up in the tree, no coon. Guy said, what now, wait a minute. You know, the guy buying it, he said, what's the deal with this? He goes, the owner said, don't worry. He said, this dog is so good, sometimes he gets here before the coon gets here. He said, you just wait, the coon will show up. We're barking up a tree that had not manifested yet. And if we keep barking, this revival will show up. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. That's a good dog, isn't it, Ralph? Hallelujah.